Seder. I don't know if it's as important as subvading in the Beis Medrash, but okay. So we left off on the Tesam at Beis, where we had seen the Machlokes Amoraim between Rava and Ravina on one hand, and Rav Papa and Rav Shirvia on the other hand, as to what is the role of the woman in a shtar kedushin. Does a shtar have to be written with her knowledge, with her shlichus? To what degree is Shishia? Is she just a receiver of the shtar? And to what degree does she help create the shtar? And that's the Machlokes Amoraim. And then we pointed out that according to the Rambam, everyone agrees that the Baal creates the shtar. The shtar kedushin is learned from get, just as the Baal creates the shtar gitin unilaterally. The Baal can create the shtar kedushin unilaterally. But the question is that since we have a din of lishma, that she's a participant mitzad lishma, maybe that brings her into the writing through the back door. Okay, that's what we spoke about last time. In any case, the Gemara at this point, on the first wide line, points out, Meisave Lechara, we have a Braisa, which is black and light and white, like one of these two Shitas. Ein Kosvin Shtari Erusin V'Nisuin, Ela Mida'as Shneim. This is exactly what Rav Papa and Rav Shirvia said, that if it's written Shalom Midaita, Eina Mekudeshet. So what do Rava and Ravina do with this Braisa? So they say, no. You interpret the Braisa that Shtari Erusin V'Nisuim relate to a Shtar Kedushin. But that's not the meaning of the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about Shtari Psikta Ukarav Gidol Amarav. Namely, that we're dealing over here with promises that are made by the in-laws. The question is, what is the status of those promises? So we have a statement of Rav Gidol that if those promises are made within the context, and we'll see exactly what this means a little later on, within the context of Kedushin, hein hem dvarim aniknim ba'amira. Namely, even though, we discussed this at great length earlier, when we dealt with Kinyan Chalipin, even though classically one requires a Maisa Kinyan to make a debt judgeable, to make it stand up in the court system, however, sometimes we have a concept that hein hein dvarim aniknim ba'amira. Sometimes one's amira does not have to be backed up with a maisa kinyan, but the amira itself represents a maisa kinyan. It represents a pure das makna, and it has halachic ramifications. This is something that can be claimed in court, that this person obligated himself halachically via the amira. And then the issue in the Braisa, that ein kosvin shtari erusin v'nisuin ela midah shnehem, is at what point is one allowed, or is one allowed, to write, are the edim who see, who hear the amira of kama anosin lebincha v'kama anoten lebincha kach v'kach, the edim who hear that conversation, are they allowed to write it down? Are they allowed to put it into a shtar? That had we had edim who saw a maisa kinyan, so we said, lipaskin stam kinyan liksiva hu omed. In other words, that the kinyan, because it has teeth, halachic teeth, can be written into a shtar, and the shtar basically is not adding anything new. It's just giving the person a written proof that there is an obligation. But the kinyan itself is that which would create a shibud on the nechasim of the mitchayev, and that can be written into the shtar. One is not losing anything by writing the shtar; one's only gaining. The question is, what about the world of hein hein dvarim haniknim ba'amira? Can the edim write that into a shtar without the knowledge of the two parties? So that's what the Braisa says: ein kosin shtari erusim v'nisuin elami da'as shnehem. Why is that? After all, isn't this also an obligation similar to a maisa kinyan? Simply pshat. What does Rashi say? Ha'edim ein rashaim lichtov aleihem shtar ela midaitam, d'necha lehu shetehei kamilva alpeh velo kamilva b'shtar. Namely, even though in achinami one is obligating oneself over here with amira, hein hem dvarim haniknim ba'amira, but it's not the same level of obligation as if we would have had an actual kinyan. Had we had an actual kinyan, there would have been shibud nechasim. Over here, by obligating yourself, there's only a shibud haguf, not a shibud nechasim. Namely, you and your metaltalim are in lien to pay that which you promised that you would pay. But your karkaos, your real estate, your nichsei delo naidi, are not yet obligated. Were it to be in a shtar, the implication is that would obligate you. And therefore, the Edom aren't allowed to put it into a shtar because they'd be raising the ante. They would be creating a shibud via the shtar that what didn't exist at the time of the Amira. That they can only do midash nehem. Okay? There is a Rambam that I didn't send you to, just you should be aware. And I saw Rav Bednar sent out a Mamre Kamo sheet this morning, and he mentioned it, so that you should be aware. There is a Rambam who brings down this halach of Hein Heim Dvarim Niklim Ba'amira, not only in Hilchos Ishus, but he brings it later on, towards the end of the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Zechiyu Matana, in Perek Vav, in my Gemara, here it's already corrected, in my Ein Mishpat, in the house, it's mistaken, it says Perek Vav in the Ein Mishpat, mine says Perek Halacha Yudalit, it's Halacha Yud Zayin, like in the Oz V'Hadar. So there is a Rambam that repeats it, and over there it appears as a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid as to whether having a Dvarim HaNiknim Ba'amira written down in a shtar really would add a shibud, or no, it's simply a mistake. You know, people would be mistaken in thinking it's a shibud because it's written down, but it's really not a shibud. But that's taking us too far afield from where we're holding currently. Beseder? Okay, so we have this concept of Hein Ein Dvarim HaNiknim Ba'amira. That's the context of the Brais of Ein Kosvin Shtari Eruz V'Nisuin Ela Mida'as Shneihem. Here, Tosfos was bothered, as Tosfos usually are bothered, by how to fit all of Shas together, and that L'chara, we have a Mishnah in Ksuvos that doesn't fit in, according to Rav Gidol. And Rav Gidol is no one argues with Rav Gidol. In other words, that there is a concept of Hein Ein Dvarim HaNiknim Ba'amira. The only question is, how far does it extend? But in the world of Haftachot, of parents, of Chasam and Kala, that's the core of Rav Gidol. Certainly, we pass like Rav Gidol in that case. And then the question is, what do we do with the Mishnah in Ksuvos? Tanan HaPosik Ma'os Le'chosno. This exactly is our case, namely that there was a promise by a father-in-law to a son-in-law of a certain amount of financial support. Upashatlo et haregel. And after the son-in-law became a son-in-law, namely, there was an erusin. And he came to his father-in-law to collect that which father-in-law had promised. And the father-in-law, Pashat Loas HaRegel, in modern Hebrew, this is a idiom for bankruptcy, Pshita HaRegel, which you could understand it, you know, he simply put out his foot that the chassid should trip over it. Namely, he said, forget it, I'm not giving you anything. In other words, you have my daughter, and the promise is simply thin air, and you'll manage. So the Mishnah over there quotes a machlokes tanoim as to what do we do. So the Tanakama says, teishev ad shetalbin rosha, that the poor woman is just an aguna. You know, she's an arusa, she's married, but there hadn't yet been nisuin, and so the son-in-law can use the status of the woman as blackmail to the father-in-law. He says, you don't want to give me the promise, I'm not going to fully marry your daughter. I'm going to leave it on a state of erusin. She can't marry anyone else, but I'm not going to be living with her. She's just going to be in a state of bin hashmashos for the rest of her life. Teishev ad shetal bin rosha. She's just going to sit this way until her hair turns white. I assume her hair will turn white a little quicker because of her situation, but she's stuck. She is just stuck. And Admon, over there, who's mentioned as one of the Dayanig Zeros, he was one of the Tanoim who felt it necessary to make certain tikkunim in the halacha, he said that we're going to have over here, that she's going to be able to force him to make a choice. O knos, o petor. Either marry me or give me a get. You can't leave me hanging. You can't leave me hanging. That's the sheet of Admon. And how does the Rambam paskin? No. Sent to the Rambam, so let's look together. Rambam paskins haposek ma'os lechasno v'holach av l'medina acheres. Pasha lo esaregel means he just disappeared. Yechola hi lomar labal, ani lo pasakti al atzmi. In other words, this isn't my fault. I wasn't the one who made the promise to you, it was my father. Ma ani yechola la'asot, o kenos b'lo nadunya, o patrani b'ged. Either marry me as I am, for my personality, even though you're not going to get any money out of this, or give me a get. In other words, it's not you have no right to leave me hanging. I didn't do anything to you. In other words, etc. So the Rama Paskin's like Admon. But we have the sheet, but it appears that the Iker Din is really the Tanakama, namely that the Chassan has no recourse to anyone, to Bezdin, etc., to get the father-in-law to keep his promise. And so the Iker Din is that the poor woman is stuck. And Admon comes up with a takana. Tosus was bothered. Why would that be the Iker Hadin? Lama Teshev, Yisa Ena, V'yikra Chamiv Ledin, Kevan Dehein Ein Dvar Ma'iniknim Ba'amira. What's the issue over here? Let the Chassan take his father-in-law to court. He has a promise. He has an oral promise. An oral agreement in this area is considered to be Hein Ein Dvar Ma'iniknim Ba'amira. It's considered to be that which obligates the person halachically. And so he should have his cake and eat it. He'll be able to marry his beloved and get the nadunya because the father-in-law owes him the nadunya. And if the father-in-law doesn't want to pay him, so let the court do whatever they do to people who don't want to pay. But it shouldn't be on the girl's cheshbon of Teshev Adjital bin Sara. That's Tosis's question. Tosis gives three answers. V'yeshlamar, answer number one, is she'achasan eno rotza l'troch v'bezdin ulemekam bedina, in hachinami. The chasan could take his father-in-law to court, but it appears to the chasan to be a much better strategy just to leave the woman in aguna and let the father-in-law come crawling to him. You know, it's okay, you know, here's the nadunya, just marry my daughter. In other words, that this way, why does he have to hire a lawyer, etc.? Let him just wait it out. But in Achinami, you know, it's really the father-in-law does owe the money. That's the first teretz. V'harashbam piresh, the Rashbam said, no. In other words, the first teretz assume that hein hein dvar ha'niknim ba'amira applies to any situation of a promise that's made in the context of marriage. That already is enough. But the Rashbam says, no, there are conditions, there are strings attached. Dafka shemitoch hatnaim amdu v'kidshu az niknim ba'amira u midakdek nikatani amdu v'ahu d'shnei din gzeros mayri shelo kidshu mitoch hadvarim u mikol makom me'achar shehiskimu teshe v'tashtal ben rosha. In other words, that the Rashbam learned the Gemara of Rav Gidol literally, that the Gemara points out that within the context of the conversation, the Chassan gave the Kala a ring, Amdu V'kidshu, that setting creates the framework of Hein Hein Dvar Ma'iniknim Ba'amira. I mean, what did we explain when we learned this sugya? Hein Hein Dvar Ma'iniknim Ba'amira normally requires some symbolic act in order to cement Da'as Makne. But sometimes the circumstances are such that replaces the symbolic act. The circumstances are such that it's clear that we have over here the most refined and the most pure Da'as Makne possible. What are those circumstances? So according to the Rashbam, those circumstances are under the chuppah. Those circumstances are that mamish were in the context of the wedding. It's not something which is taking place a week before the wedding or a month before the wedding where the parents-in-law meet over a cup of coffee and discuss the future of their children. That is a stam dor bialma. That's, you know, those are promises that are politics. But they don't obligate unless they're going to be written down in the shtar tonight. But under the chuppah, no one is joking. Under the chuppah, everyone is serious. Everyone is even listening to the drasha of the Rav, hopefully, of the charge that he's giving the chassan and the kala. It's like sort of at a chagasmicha, where everyone is, of course, listening to everything which is being said rather than taking selfies. It's that there are certain times in life that are very, very that are very, very serious moments. Serious decisions are being made, and so the Rashbam wants to limit it to that case, and the Mishnah and Ksuvos is talking about a promise that was not made under the ideal circumstances. Okay, so we set up our Rav Gidol in an ukimta, and only in that ukimta where we have this pure, refined Das Machne, do we say Heinen Dvarma Nikdin Bamira, and not in other situations, even if they relate to a Chasan and a Kala. Tosus was not all that impressed by the language of Amdu, points out that the Gemara many times mentions Amdu, and it doesn't mean that we have a simultaneity. It means that we have a succession. Something happens afterwards, not necessarily it happens simultaneously. But then Rabbeinu Tam gives another Ukimta. Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, Tahad, Amar Niknim Be'amira, Benisuin Rishonim Dafka, Shehaav Masi et Bito, V'yeshlo Kiruv Da'az Godol, Eitzel Chosno, Aval Hosam, Mairi Bishniyim. V'chein ha'yarev omer Rabbeinu Tam, a nickname ba'amira el kisha'av posik avalacheha v'imolo. Namely, that we have to take into account not only the situation of time, in other words, where exactly this promise is being said, but also by whom it is being said, and the nature of the wedding. Namely, there's a difference between a first wedding and a second wedding. The first wedding is very, very an emotional event. The second wedding, many times, has many other cheshbonos that are involved. And so only when we're dealing with a first wedding of a child, first wedding of that particular child, and when we're dealing with a father who has a very, very special emotional connection, as opposed to if the father's not around and the mother or the brothers are marrying off, all of this makes a difference. Namely, that to get to that level of that machna tsrufa, to get to that level of the pure, refined, powerful das machna, we have to take into account all these circumstances. Rav Gidl is talking where we have check, 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 everything works out, we're dealing with a father, we're dealing with the first marriage, then hein hein dvar maniknim ba'amira. The Mishnah in Ksuvos is talking about someone else is marrying off the chasan and kala, or this isn't their first marriage. Of the father's child, it's a second marriage, and he doesn't necessarily feel that same emotional tie to the chasan that he feels he is obligated to keep his word. Okay, has the Rambam paskin within this machlokes? So if we look at the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, we see that in Perek of Gimel, a little before where he paskins like Admon in terms of the takana, he brings down the din of Rav Gidol in Halacha Yud Gimel, Ego Hein Advar Meniknim Ba'amira, and then Halacha Yud Dalet, he gives the circumstances. He circumscribes Rav Gidol. V'medvar Mamurim, Kishe Pasa Ka'av Labito Ben Gedola Ben Ketana, U'Pasa Ka'av Acher Libno, U'Benisuin Rishonim. Namely, that the Rambam over here is echoing Rabbeinu Tam. Shedaito, or if you want to, Rabbeinu Tam is echoing the Rambam. Shedaito shel Adam krova etzel b'no. Umeirov simchaso b'nisuim harishonim gomar umaknelo b'amira. When we have this combination of a father and a first marriage, that's when we have the ultimate level of gemiras das, of das makne. But if we're not dealing with a father, ach shepasuk l'achoso, ishep shepasuk l'abisa, etc., or we're dealing with a second marriage, then lo kanu osan hadvarim, until there's a kinyan sudar, until yiknu mimenu haposek chinasan kach v'kach. The Kesef Mishnah points out that it's not that Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam had Ruach HaKodesh and knew what each other was thinking halfway across the world, but rather this is Yerushalmi. They're both working off of Yerushalmi, and that's where it came from, and the Rif also quotes this Yerushalmi, etc. And then the Kesef Mishnah points out v'da, the afal pisha Rabbeinu lishna de Rav Gidol nokat v'nem rubo perushim yeshlomar de sover keperush ha Rashbam, that maybe the Rambam has another condition as well, not only a question of who is making the commitment, namely the father or another relative, not only a question of what marriage this is, the first or the second, but you have to take into account also perush ha Rashbam. That which Rabbeinu Tam, that which Tosus over here quotes, the dafka omdu v'kidshu la'alter mitoch hadvarim. To take the phrase of Rav Gidol, omdu v'kidshu, literally as a condition, u'mitoch hadvarim. That in that context, the promise was made. Abo shelo b'shas kedushin eno mischayev, v'kach kosav hatur shehu da'as Rabbeinu. Why push that into the Rambam? The Rambam doesn't say anything at all about omdu v'kidshu in this halacha, but at the end of the perek, I forgot to write it, print it out, at the end of the perek, we have two Rambams who mentions the phrase Amdu V'Kidshu. So it could be, there's no stira between the Ukimto. Namely, we want to create the ideal situation of the refined Da'as Matna. It could be that we have no conditions, simply the fact that kids are getting married. That creates a Da'as Matna. That's the first Teret of Tosos. Could be we have one condition of Amdu V'Kidshu. Could be we have a different condition, or it could be that we need the combination of all of these conditions to create this Heinheim Dvarim HaNiknim Be'Amira. Okay, that's what we have over here to complete the sugya of Shtar, and then we move over into the world of Bia. Now, to a certain degree, this is sort of deja vu, because we already dealt with this back on Daf Hey Amud Beis, where the Gemara asked already asked the question as to what is the source of Bia. The Gemara dealt over there with Shtar. I'm sorry, it dealt over there with Kesef, Ketzad B'Kesef, and then the Gemara brought in the world of Bia, Ubala, and then the Gemara brought in the world of Shtar on Daf this Dalad Amud Beis. The Gemara Daf Dalad Amud Beis began with Kesef, moved over Ubala Malamech Niknes Ubia, and then moved over Menayin Shach B'Shtar. So we pointed out then when we learned Daf Dalad Amud Beis and Hayamad Aleph that the Gemara is dealing with a Sifri. And within the Sifri, which is being referred to Psukim, explains the Psukim in the order of the Psukim, Ki Yikach Ish Isha is Kesef, Uba'ala is Bia, Umayanach Mishtar, it brings in V'yotza V'hayisa. However, within the context of the Mishnah, Hayisha Niknes B'Kesef Mishtar U'Bia, where the order is changed, so the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis already starts off with the Sugya of Kesef Menalan, and then on Daf Tesemet Aleph moves over to the world of Shtar, and now on Daf Tesemet Beis moves over to the world of Bia. Namely, that this is the main sugya, that which was quoted earlier, was simply a Sifri that happens to be one of the deos of the Tanoim that's mentioned over here. Okay, so Gemara asks, what is the source in the Torah that we have, Kiddushei Bia, Menolan? Amar Avavo, Amar Av Yochanan, Damarkra, Be'ulas Baal, Melamed Shena'aseh LaBaal Al Yedei Be'ilah. That Be'ulas Baal implies that we have over here a Be'ula who by being Niv'elet, now she has a husband. She's Niv'elet via her Baal. It's one process. The question which is raised here by the Rishonim is which pasuk in the Torah are we referring to that has the phrase Be'ulas Baal? How many psukim do we have in the Torah where we have the phrase Be'ulas Baal? Two, right? So we have a pasuk in Bereishis, in the story of Avimelech and Sarah, Vayavo Elokim El Avimelech Macholam HaLayla, Vayomer lo, hincha meit al ha'isha asher lakachta, namely Sarah, v'hi bu'ulas baal. V'hi bu'ulas baal. Sarah is married. You took a married woman. And then we have the pasuk in Parshas Ki Teitze, ki yimatzei ish shochev im isha bu'ulas baal. If we find someone committing adultery with a married woman, umeisu gam shnehem ha'ish Hashochev im haisha v'haisha ubiyarta hara mikirbecha. So which of these psukim is being brought as the proof text? What does Rashi say? Pasuk in Dvarim. Amar krabu asbal ki imatzei ish shochev im isha bu asbal. However, if you look in the Tosfos Ri Hazakein, what does he point out? In other words, it starts off v'hi bu'ulas baal. V'hi bu'ulas baal is which pasuk? Embracious. And then he says is the garse ki imatzei ish shochev im isha bu'ulas baal. That he points that if we have two girsos. Either we're dealing with the pasuk in Bereishis or we're dealing with the pasuk in Devarim. My nafkamina, whether we're dealing with why would we move to Devarim if we already have a pasuk in Bereishis? I mean, if the Gemara is quoting the pasuk of Bulas Baal and one's in Bereishis and one is in and one is in Devarim, so why would anyone say that we move over to Devarim? Why not the first time that Bulas Baal is mentioned? And the context of Avimelech is being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What? So, in other words, it's also how we're dealing with the Neshis. But look at the Ramban. The Ramban, the Chidushi Ramban, Hochi Garsinan, V'chein Garas Rashi, Amar Kra B'u Asbal. Namely, the Hochi Garsinan is opposed to the Girsa of V'lo Garsinan V'hi. Right? That the Tosas Sri Hazakim pointed out that there's a Girsa V'hi B'u Asbal, which is a quote from Bereishis. And the Ramban says, no. Take out the word vehi, and that's Rashi's girsa. Bulas baal relates to Dvarim. Why? Because the ilu vehi bulas baal bibine noach siv v'lo gamrina minei le Yisrael. Namely, that clearly the pasuk in Bereishis is dealing with the world of issues of bnei noach. And we're talking about Maseches Kedushin. We're talking about issues of Bnei Yisrael, and so l'chora we should bring a raya from the world of Bnei Yisrael. What Rishon did we see, which would sort of back up the possibility that we're dealing over here with issues of Bnei Noach, and b'chol zot it's relevant to the world of issues of Bnei Yisrael? How does the Rambam begin? Hilchos Ishus. What are the first three words? Kodem Matan Torah. Right? In other words, that the Rambam begins Hilchos Ishus with Ishus of Abed Noach, and then he segues into the world of Ishus of post Matan Torah, which would seem to imply that with, again, you could say anything you want within the Rambam, but it would seem to imply, why, in other words, in Jason's language, why give us a history lesson? I mean, what, you know, like this, this is not, we're not dealing over here with Hilchos Malachim, where we have a list of dinim of Bnei Noach. And we're talking about Hilchos Ishus. Hilchos Ishus is talking about the world of Ishus in Klal Yisrael. It would seem to imply that we have a core of Ishus, which is built into humanity, and that, and then we add on to it a world of Erusin, a world of Chuppah. In other words, that we sort of that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was not to change, but to expand. And therefore, if we have a form of Ishus, which is created by Bia in Bnei Noach, that would move over into the world of Yisrael as well. Just in Yisrael, we're going to add in not only Bulas Baal, but also Kesef, also Shtar. We're going to add in not only the world of Nisuin, but also the world of Erusin. We're going to add in the Isra of Kadesha. In other words, that all of this is on top of the general world of Ben Noach. And so, basically, the girsa that we have in the Gemara would sort of be either backing up the Rambam, or maybe the Rambam's source. That the Rambam had his girsa of Ahibu Lasbal, that would be the source of, according to Rav Yochanan. And then we move from the world of Ben Noach into the world of Yisrael. Mashein came to Ramban, says, Ma pitom. These are two worlds, apples and oranges, light and day. They have one nothing to do with the other. And if we're bringing a raya, we're going to bring a raya from the world of Ishus of Ben Noach, not world of Ishus of Yisrael. Okay, let's continue. So all of this was the shita of Rabbi Avohu Amar Rav Yochanan. Amalei Rav Zeila Rav Avohu, va'amri le'Rish Lakish le'Rav Yochanan, ku'ura zo sheshana Rebbe uba'ala, melamed sheniknes bebia. Why are you searching for a source? Rav Yudah Hanasi already has a source. Uba'ala, why did you have to move over to a new pasuk of Bulas Baal? So Rav Yochanan responded, Imei Hasam, or Rav Avohu responded, Imei Hasam have a mina, Ad the Mekadesh v'ha der boil, ka mashmalan. Okay, so the Gemara explains to us why Rav Yochanan did not learn like Rebbe. Because the pasuk of Ubala could have been read in a different manner that we're going to explain in a moment. But the Gemara nowhere asks, why didn't Rebbe learn like Rav Yochanan? Why didn't Rebbe learn like Rav Yochanan? After all, the pasuk of Ubala, that's in Perek Kafdalet. And we have over here a pasuk in Perek Kaf Beis of Bulas Baal. And namely, what's wrong with the drasha, with the theoretical drasha of Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yehuda Hanasi moved over to Uba'ala? Nu, what do you say? What do you say? I didn't see this in the Rishonim, but I think it's clear in the Gemara. What jump is Rav Yochanan making that you know really is a tremendous jump that you know that Rebbe's pasuk is like pshat and Rav Yochanan he's creating tremendous chiddush. What's the context of the pasuk bu'ulas baal? Both in Bereishis and in Devarim.
She's saying it's Pandia.
Excuse me?
I mean, she's married to a man. Just telling us a fact.
But what does it mean if you're saying your sentence in Hebrew? How would you say that she's married to a man?
Bulas Baal.
Bulas Baal. What level of marriage are we speaking about? In Benoach, there's only such a concept. In by Yisrael, we have two stages. What are we talking about? Vehibu lasbal nisuin, that she is in a state of nisuin. By Benoach, there's only nisuin, right? In other words, that there's a concept that she is intimate with her husband, that they have a zikah, that they have an interpersonal relationship, etc. But also by Yisrael, vehibu lasbal v'shachav isha sabibu lasbal. This is a nesua as opposed to an arusa. Next pasuk, right after that, it says, "And if she was a nara hamurasa laish, and he was bold her, then kach v'kach v'kach. Then we have a different punishment." But we're not talking over here about an arusa. The context is nesua. But what do we want to prove? Haisha niknes. We want to prove that a woman can get into a stage of erusin via. But the psukim of Rav Yochanan, be it in Bereishis or be it in Dvarim, are talking about nisuin. Vehi bulas baal is talking about nisuin. Ki yishkav isha bulas baal, she's a nisua. She's not just an arusa. So how did Rav Yochanan ever think of learning from a pasuk dealing with nisuim, a din of erusin? Did we have anything similar to this in the Templat that we've learned since the beginning of the year? That we want to bring a proof to the world of Erusin and we bring it from the world of Nisuin? If I mention the name Rav Huna, does that help you? Rav Huna held, right, that you can create Erusin via Chuppah. Rav Huna held you can create Erusin via Chuppah. What was Rav Huna's raya? That if chuppah can be gomer, kal v'chomer, that it can create erusin. L'chore, that's where Rav Yochanan is saying over here. That if bia can create nisuin, kal v'chomer can create erusin. Namely, that Rav Yochanan is adopting the svara of Rav Huna. That whatever works to create nisuin, certainly kal v'chomer will create erusin. But we pointed out that Rava disagrees over there in the Gemara and says, no, these are two different worlds. Erusin is a legal construct. Nisuin is an interpersonal construct. How do you make a kal v'chomer from one to the other? It's a machlokes amorim. So, but Rav Yochanan, l'chora, is going in that direction. That he's learning from a pasuk dealing with Nisuim that we can hu hadin, we can create erusin. So why Rebbe didn't agree with Rav Yochanan is pretty clear. The question is why Rav Yochanan didn't agree with Rebbe, that the Gemara talks about. Okay, but realize that within Rav Yochanan, we have a tremendous chiddush. It's like the tip of the iceberg. But then we have to go back to the sugya of Rav Huna and Rava to understand whether Erusin can be learned out from Nisuin or it can't be learned out from Nisuin. Okay. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, that's what's not in the Gemara because the Chora, it's Pashut, that Rav Yochanan is a tremendous Chiddush. So why did Rav Yochanan come up with this Chiddush that we're learning Erusin from Nisuin, that just like Bia creates Nisuin by a Ben Noach or by a Yisrael, just as Bia creates Nisuin, so also Bia can create Erusin. Why did Rav Yochanan come up with this and not simply learn like Rabbi Uba'ala? So Gemara said a minute ago that we would think, if we only had Uba'ala, that Ad Mekadesh V'Hadir Ba'il Ka Mashmalan. That the Havamina would have been, the Gemara said that according that you could have read the Pasuk, that maybe we require in the world of Erusin both Kesef and Bia. Havamina Ad the Mekadesh V'Hadar Ba'il. Why? What would push us to such a Havamina? What would push us to such a Havamina?
Like
so you have a Vav HaChibur. So you want to say the Vav HaChibur is going to connect the two, but conceptually, why would you require a two-stage Erusin? Why would Erusin have to enter into the world in a succession of actions? In other words, what would be the nature of the first action? And what would be the nature of the second action? Okay, exactly. You know, it's just the same way that we saw that we have Erusin and Nisuin. Right, that Erusin is more the juridic and Nisuin is more the intimate personal relationship. Maybe within Erusin itself, you have two stages. Maybe you need a Maisa Kinyan B'Kol HaTorah Kula, Kesef or Shtar. And then, on top of that, you need Bia, you need something that relates to the world of Ishus per se. That would be a Havamina, because of the Vav HaChibur, as you pointed out. Ki Yikach Ish Isha, Uba'ala, that he has to make a kinyan that's valid b'chol HaTorah Kula, it's kesef, and then Uba'ala, and then show that this is not, he's not buying her as an Amma Ivriya, he's not, this isn't a purchase, but this is marriage. And so you would need some act that would represent the Mitzius of Ishus. Kamash Malan, right? So therefore, Rav Yochanan didn't want to use that pasuk. Nu, and Rebbe. How was Rebbe able to use the pasuk? How was Rebbe able to dismiss the argument of Rav Yochanan? Don't we have in this pasuk l'chora a vav hachibur? So what the Chachmei Svarad say? What do they point out? The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva. That we have a machlokes b'chol hashas between Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonasan. How do we read a vav in the Torah? Do we say that a vav is shneim ke'echad? That a vav is requiring two conditions? Or do we say kol echad l'chud ad sheyifarei takasuv yachdav? Or do we say no, that a vav is either or? That a vav is ki'ikach ish isha or uba'ala, either or, until the Torah would have, if the Torah wanted to say you need both, it would have said yachtav. Where does the Torah use the word yachtav? By kilayim, right? Semer u'pishtim, yachtav, right? In other words, that's not semer or pishtim, it's semer and pishtim. But without the word yachtav, we would have read it as either or. So the default position of avav is an either or as opposed to a combination. Okay, that's a machlokes amoraim. So Rav Yochanan is coming with his mindset, and Rebbe is coming with his mindset. It's not, in other words, that there are two ways of reading avav grammatically within the Hebrew language. All of that is Chachmei Svarad. However, the Shita Lo Noda Lami gives an alternate explanation. and couldn't put it on the sheet because we don't have the sheet of Anon Lami in the Bar Ilan. Even the new edition, which is coming out this week, it's not there. We can read it. Sheet of Anon Lami. Testament days. Ad the Mekadesh v'hader boil, avo Rebbe Sfirulei, the Mekadesh v'hader boil, lo matzis amris, kevan de gamris kicha kicha bistei Ephron, Ma kesef lechude b'stei Ephron kani, afacha na me kesef lechude b'issa kani. In other words, that the Rebbe, was not working off of the vav hachibur, but rather that the whole source of kesef was as an independent kinyan in the world of karka, and so when it's moved over to the world of ishus, remains an independent. Possibility. Namely, the question is whether the hava mina of Rav Yochanan, whether there's any svara to it at all. According to Chachmi Svarad, Rav Yochanan's hava mina, that we need two stages, has a svara, that there is such a svara that you would need two stages. It's just knocked off by the vav achibur, that the vav achibur is either or, as opposed to and. Mashenken, according to the Sheet of Anoda Lami, there's no question that within Rebbe's world, all that one requires is a juridic kinyan. All that you require is a kinyan b'chol haTorah kula. There's no hav amina that we should ever require anything beyond that. It doesn't get off the ground. Okay. Then the Gemara asks Maskif. Maskif lo Rav Avraham Mamal. In other words, on the Hava Mina of Rav Yochanan felt that we only had the pasuk of Uba'ala, we would have needed two stages. Maskif lo Rav Avraham Mamal, im kain, if we would have learned like Rav Yochanan, learned the pasuk of Uba'ala, Na'ara Hamurasa Da'ama Rachmana Beskila Hecha Mishkachasla. In other words, then how would we ever have a hechitimtza of a na'ara mu'urasa besula? That's what the pasuk refers to. Ki a na'ara besula ma'urasa le'ish. If erusin has two stages, kesef and bia, how do we ever have a metzius of a na'ara mu'urasa besula? Ida aktish v'hadar ba'al bu'ulahi. So according to Rav Yochanan, lav kumi. So we have, so l'chora, how could Rav Yochanan possibly learn in a manner that would not allow for us to have pshat in a pasuk in the Torah? There's something wrong with Rav Yochanan's havamina. Amruhu rabbanan kameida abaye. So the Gemara has two ways of answering this question. One is what Rabbanan said to Abaye, Mishkachas lo kagon shebo aleha arus shelo kedarka. And then we're going to see that Abaye has a whole discussion of the nature of shelo kedarka. And then if we skip a few lines in the Gemara, we have Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, who has another ukimta, Mishkachas lo kagon de kidsha vishtar, hoel v'gomer u'motzi, gomer u'machnis. That the Gemara offers two ways of creating an erusin without the woman being a bu'ula. How can create it's that even assuming that kesef only works with bia, we can still have two ways of having a woman who is an arusa and would not be a bu'ula. What are the two ways? Either that we have a bia shalokadarka, kesef plus a bia shalokadarka, so we have kedushin, but we don't have a beula, or kitcha bishtar. Let's take each of those separately. I mean, what do we see about the hagdara of bia within the statement of Rabbanan? That we can have a bia shelo kedarka, and that the woman would still be defined as a basula. What over here is the necessary underlying assumptions in order to be able to build such a construct? That how are we defining the world of bia, and how are we defining the world of basula? What is the makar that we can have a bia shaloka darka that would be defined as bia? So Rashi points out, shaloka darka de iskush mishkavos lahadadi tichsiv mishkave isha. Shtei mishkavos v'karinan bei ki yikach uba'ala v'akate besulahi. What is Rashi pointing out? That we have a gzeras hakasuv, that the Torah speaks about mishkavei isha, and that this gzeras hakasuv is a din b'chol haTorah kula, in the world of arayos, in the world of kedushin, in the world of nisuim, that we have more than one form of bia. Namely, what over here is the broader definition of bia? That would include a bia kedarka and a bia shelo kedarka. That bia is defined as an intimate act, period. In other words, and one can get to this level of intimacy by doing a maisa in the place where it is normally done. Or one can do this a parallel maisa in an orifice where it's not normally done, but each of them relate an act of intimacy. That's defined as bia. And then this woman is now called a bu'ula. She has been subjected to a maisa bia, so she is a bu'ula. But what is she still? And when we have a bia kedarka, the moment that she is a bu'ula, she's no longer a betula. Because when one inserts into the area that normally the maisa bia is, that would cut through the basula. And so she would no longer be a basula. But if we have a bia shelo kedarka that enters the body in a different area, then the basula remain. Namely, there is no stira, according to the Rabbana, between being a bu'ula and a betula. You can be both a bu'ula and therefore be married. Kaddish v'hadir boyo. That we had the kedushin and we had bia defined as an intimate act, so she's totally mekudeshet with the kesef and the maaseh bia. She is now a bu'ula, but she still remains a besula. There is no stira between those two. So we can have a world of yedna ara besula ma'orasala ish in this manner. Okay, that's what is. Is being spoken over here, namely that basula is a physical state. Does she have basulim or doesn't have basulim? A ba'ula is a woman who underwent an intimate act. And there's no stira between being a ba'ula and being a basula, according to Rav Yochanan. That's the understanding, that's the ukimta of Rabbanan. And then we have an ukimta of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, that even if we say that kesef requires bia, kaddish v'hadir ba'il, shtar can work on its own. And so we can have an isha ma'orasa, na'ara besula murasa la'ish via shtar, in which there was no ma'isa bia, and b'chol zot she is mekudeshet. What is the distinction over here between kesef and shtar? Why would kesef perhaps require a second stage of bia, and shtar would work on its own. from because of the core of the source that the world of shtar is going out from get. Just as get works on two planes simultaneously, it breaks the kinyan and it breaks the ishus. So also the shtar kedushin would create a kinyan and create an ishus by kesef. Perhaps you require kaddish v'hadar boil, that we need these two realms to be represented. But if we already know that the get works on both realms, so that then v'yotza v'hayisa, just as it destroys both realms, it can also create both realms. Okay. What we've skipped in the Gemara, we'll come back to, is the whole diyun of Abaye. That Abaye wants to distinguish, when we're dealing with b'yodei acher, whether we're dealing with a husband or whether we're dealing with a third party. And that will bring us into the Beis Halevi, etc. So that will hold off one moment. Let's just continue the Gemara a few more lines. Rav Yochanan, Hai uba'ala mai ovidle. What does Rav Yochanan do with the pasuk of uba'ala, since he learns out the world of Bia from Bu'ulas Baal? Hahumi boile zo niknes bebia ve'ein ama ivria niknes bebia. That we would have had a hava amina, that once we have a world of bia as a kinyan and ishus, this would also be a meaningful kinyan in the world of ama ivria. Kamash malan u ba'ala, that we're limiting it to the world of Ishus as opposed to Amma Ivriya. What question did we have on this, on such a limud, when we learned it the first time on Daf Dalet Amud Beis?
What's the connection between?
Right. What in the world is the connection between Via and Amma Ivriya in the world of Ishus? So Via is a symbolic act of Ishus. It's a world of Eben HaEzer. Amma Ivriya is a world of Choshen Mishpat. We're dealing over here with a kinyan of her of her work. We're dealing over here with her wages. We're dealing over here with something which is in a totally different realm. Why would we have such a hava mina that you could bring an Amma Ivriya under your wing via Bia? What would be such a hava mina? In other words, that the Gemara asked on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Gemara over here does not ask it. So why, in other words, what do you have to say? Why over here, perhaps, once we've gotten from Daf Dalet to Daf Tes, what have we learned in the meantime that maybe would help us understand why the Gemara would have a Hava Mina, that Bia would work in the world of Amma Ivriya? Come to that in a moment. Maybe we have to do one of two things. Either we have to broaden the world of Bia into Choshen Mishpat, or we have to bring Amma Ivriya into the world of Eben HaEzer. One of those two. So you're taking the latter approach of bringing Amma Ivriya into the world of Eben HaEzer. But let's take the first approach. Is there any way that after the Gemara that we've learned that we can bring Bia into the world of Choshen Mishpat? Then in Choshen Mishpat, we need a kinyan. We know that kesef is a kinyan in the world of Choshen Mishpat. What have we learned about the definition of kesef that perhaps will help us, broaden the definition of kesef in the world of Choshen Mishpat? Maybe that it would include bia? Excellent. Right. Once we've seen the sugyos of shave kesef, and we've seen that even hana'a can be defined as shave kesef, and bia is something that people pay for. In other words, it's a hana'a, it's a physical hana'a. Maybe, in other words, the person can, maybe we would have such a hava mina that we can use this also in the world of a choshen mishpat, chape, between a man and a woman. That maybe this would move over to the world of Amma Ivriya. Kamash malan, mapito. In other words, kamash malan, no. That bia, you know, even if we speak about Shava Kesef and Hana'a, we're not speaking about Bia. Bia is unique to Ishus. But as a Hava Mina, that's a possibility to say that we could bring the world of Bia into the world of Choshen Mishpat. But the more likely way, I agree with Jason, is to bring Amma Ivriya into the world of Evan HaEzer. And that's what I quote over here in the name of the Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua raises the question why the Gemara on Daf Dalet was not, you know, where it's simply shot down this Havamina right away. Didn't allow it to get off the ground. And over here, it appears to be a valid Havamina. Lulei de Mistafina Miravavasa. Kind of read that the Pnei Yoshua had an argument with his Rebbeim in the Beis HaMedrash, and they told him that he's off the wall. But so, in other words, but Bechol Zot, he felt he was going to write it in his Sefer. Lulei de Mistafina Miravavasa haya nirali lafarish bederech acher. Daha de itzrich lamayit ama Yivriya. We're not talking about when the Am Evriya is being created. That's Choshen Mishpat. In other words, that we would have a Havamina, why use Kesef for Yiyud? Be it the Kesef Rishona, be it the Kesef Shnia, why use Kesef? Why not use Bia for the world of Yud? That's the question over here in the Gemara. Vashtashi Shafir, in other words, that we don't ask in our Gemara, Amavriya Tochiach, Shenu Niknes Vibia, because it's not a world of Ishus. There, in the Gemara and Daftala, they were dealing with creating Shifklus, and here we're dealing with the moving from the world of Shifklus to the world of Yiyud. Okay, in any case, I think that's, you could say it over the name of Jason, or say it over the name of the Pnei Yoshua, whichever you want. Okay, what we're left with, Bli Neder, that we'll start with in Yirtzeh Hashem on Yom Rishon, is to understand Abaye's distinction between the husband who is ba'aleha shelo kedarka and an acher who is ba'aleha shelo kedarka, as to whether we have over here a maisa bia, and in that context to see the Beis HaLevi that I sent you to, and then the Tosus over here on Daf Yud Amud Aleph that we'll start with, and I'll give you Bli Neder some more marmakamos to move us further on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Out of curiosity, since I raised the issue last time, have you come to any conclusions in your decision as to what you want to do after Pesach?
I would want to do a Yichud, but I don't have a
question. Okay, so how many want to continue in the first parak? Okay. How many want to move to the beginning of the second parak? How many want to move to the sugyas of Yichud? Okay. You don't have Yichud. Okay, that'll be the first thing we'll learn. How many it's required for Yichud? The Seder. So, Bli Neder. So, we'll do the Sugyas of Yichud. And then after the Sugyas, you'll have a time for a Chazara on that which we've learned since the last Bechina in both Rakim. And we'll have a written Chazara. Okay? I'll try and coordinate with Rabbi Bednar and Eisenstein that it will not conflict with your end of the year Bechinos in the afternoon. Okay? Beseder. Next week we have two regular shiurim on Mirtz Hashem, Sunday and Wednesday.